We turn to those brilliantly translated words in Acts 26 and 29. An almost Christian or altogether a Christian. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bones. Paul makes the distinction between almost a Christian and altogether a Christian. It's a brilliant translation of two parallel phrases which are used in the original language. It is not easy to understand whether Agrippa was being genuine or whether Agrippa was meaning to finish the whole proceedings when he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It could be that he wanted the whole thing over. It could be that the thing was too near the mark to his soul. It could be that he's saying, you're within a hair's breadth of persuading me to be a Christian and I don't want it. Almost, but you're dismissed. There's that way of looking at it. Or there is the sense in which you wonder, could this have been a longing soul? Could this be someone who was hanging on Paul's every word? Could this have been a person who really would have liked to have believed, but for status perhaps, but for kingship? It looks as if he was not genuine because he was dismissed immediately afterwards and they changed the subject. Paul and Bernice spoke to Festus and spoke only about Paul's going to Rome, but nothing about what he had said. So we are probably left with the conclusion that Agrippa, who was a Jew, was not being serious when he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was sort of sniggering, sort of laughing. Go on mind this much longer and you'll make even me a Christian, sort of argument. However, according to the histories, as Jewish leaders went, Agrippa is recorded as being one of the most courteous of the high-ranking Jews. It is recorded of him, to his credit, that he was among the most courteous of Jews towards women. Not in a lustful sort of way, but in a polite way. Whereas most of the Jewish leaders held women in contempt and committed adultery, though his own relationships were not perfect, he was always courteous and fulfilled the law down to the least detail in his attitude towards, particularly towards women. But there were other ways in which he is recorded as having been very careful. He would worship at the temple and he would worship in a most particular way, making sure he kept all the detail of the law. So that when Paul persuades him and says to him, do you believe the prophets? And then he said, I know you believe. I don't think he was being in any way ironic. I think he really did know. His reputation was such that here was a man who did believe the word of God in the past. And it seems also that Paul was delighted to be able to preach to him, to speak to him, to defend his cause before him, as one who understood, as one who would listen sympathetically. And so he sets out what it is to be a Christian, why it is he was opposed. He describes in his testimony how it was all about the Lord Jesus. And you see here that everything turns on the Lord Jesus. The Jews believed in one God, but as Jesus said, believe also in me. They didn't. And he speaks of the way that the Lord Jesus spoke to him, and that there was that light. Amazing, if you came to think about it. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. When the Lord returns, he'll return to some places that are in darkness, and some places that are at noonday, and some that are in between. But always the brightness of the Lord will overshine even the brightest sunlight of the brightest place on that day. And this is what you have when he dealt with Paul. The brightness of a midday sun was totally eclipsed, not by darkness, but by the brighter light of the Saviour's appearing. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining about me and about them which journeyed with me. So I heard a voice speaking. And the voice that appeared in that bright light, the voice that appeared without authority, I didn't know who it was till I asked. And the voice said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Jesus the bright one. Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. And then he was recorded his commission. Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of these things, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So here is a distinctive gospel which Paul is commissioned to speak and which he declares before Agrippa. That he's to turn men from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that people might receive forgiveness in Christ, that they might receive an inheritance among those who are sanctified in Christ. But he says, I wasn't disobedient, and I called upon people to repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Now, Agrippa, I know that you understand these things. They don't mean anything to Festus, but they do mean something to you. Now, you know from the prophets that Moses and the prophets said that Christ should suffer. It seems to escape most of the leaders, but surely it hasn't escaped you what is written in Isaiah 53 and other places that Christ should suffer. And though it goes against the grain of the Sadducees, which Agrippa you're not, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. And he did rise from the dead. And he did raise the dead. And that the Lord Jesus should not only show light to the people of the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, as is often foretold in Isaiah and the prophets. Now, I know, Agrippa, that you know these things. I also know that none of the preaching concerning the Lord Jesus is hidden from you. I am sure that you are aware of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. When he says, and we read it in verse 26, the king knoweth of these things, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Might really mean that he knows these things from the prophecies, but it seems more likely that it means he was aware of Jesus' ministry. But here is a man defending his cause on trial for his life. And he challenges King Agrippa. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. I think Paul means there quite genuinely that he did read the prophets and understood them. And all he needed to get to make it click was to see that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the messianic prophecies. I know that thou believest. I'm showing you the fulfillment of them all. And it will click with you. Perhaps it very nearly did. Almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. An almost Christian is like a person who is running a race and gets within 5 meters of the finishing line and collapses in a heap. Somebody who ran a race. Somebody who ran a fairly good race. A moral race, let's say. But somebody who actually comes short of the vital act of finishing. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, but actually not one. Actually not there. Actually armed with loads of facts from the Bible, but actually not one who's put his trust in Jesus, by whom he comes to God. Certainly a believer in God, but not one who puts his trust that Jesus Christ is the only way by which you come to God. So it is true that almost a Christian is not a Christian. And as the hymn so eloquently said, almost is lost. Now, of course, is the famous country and western song about the man who was out in the wind. And he'd stumble through the night and through the wind and through the snow and the blizzard with his dog. The dog could go no further. So he lay down with his dog and died. In the morning it was seen that he was within 100 yards of home after a 100-mile journey. But he was dead. All illustrations that almost is not enough. Almost is but to fail. After these events, Agrippa carried on as before. After these events, Agrippa was not a changed man. After these events, Agrippa, no doubt, looked at his scriptures again and worshipped at Jerusalem again in the temple. But there was no change in his life. No animation. No salvation. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. To which Paul says, I pray, that's the word he uses, I pray God that not just you, but everyone who's listening this day might be more than almost, might be altogether like I am. A believer like me, absolutely committed to the Saviour, except I wouldn't wish any of them to have my bonds. An altogether Christian. Altogether a Christian. One who believes savingly upon repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. One who comes to the Lord Jesus believing that the Lord Jesus was sent by God to bear away and make atonement for the sin of the world. One who sees in consequence of that, that God is angry with the wicked. And as a list sins are confessed, unless new life is given, then there is no hope. And unless one believes that coming to the Lord Jesus Christ means a new life, a new beginning, then there is no hope. Paul was deeply instructed by the Lord Jesus after the Lord Jesus spoke to him concerning the things of faith. He spent 3 years away understanding the whole of the Old Testament and how he should preach the gospel. But from the moment of the Damascus Road, it was the Lord Jesus Christ whom he served. And he confessed his sin, that he was the least of the apostles, that he didn't deserve to be a Christian, because he put to death and caused to blaspheme many of the Lord's dear people. But all that was now behind. In an instant, the sight of Christ, the knowledge that the Lord Jesus had awakened him and chosen him and changed him, altered his whole life perspective. And in that moment, he was changed. And he says, I would want all of you to be like that. I want all of you to be altogether Christians. I want you not to be short in any doctrine, in any understanding, in any way of trust. I desire that you should all have your sins forgiven through the blood that was shed on Calvary. I desire not that you should say, yeah, that's quite nice preaching. Not that you should say, yeah, I quite like what you say about Jesus. That's almost a Christian. I wish you were all together, absolutely convinced, absolutely dedicated to, absolutely transformed. Every one of you with your sins forgiven. Every one of you with those sins blotted out and made atonement for by the Lord Jesus. It was a brave witness. Paul maintains even to the king that almost won't do. That almost is but to turn away from a saviour, and that even a king has no right to turn from the King of Kings, but to yield himself in allegiance, to cast his crown before such a saviour's feet. I would that not only thou, but all that hear me this day, were both almost, more than almost, altogether, such as I am. Accept these bonds. May it be that every one of us believes in the Lord Jesus as Paul believed in the Lord Jesus, trusted the Lord Jesus as he trusted, was forgiven for all the past sins, however bad they were, like Paul was forgiven, would serve the Lord Jesus as faithfully as Paul served him. He prays to God that they may be altogether Christians, perfectly rounded in their faith, and who will not fall short. Whether it be because they want to continue an old way of life, whether it be because the life they have is one of glory, but they would not have an almost Christian, but only an altogether Christian. May the Lord bless us and make sure we don't fall short, that we actually are real Christians, that the core thing of the gospel, that we've come to the Saviour repenting of sin, deeply repenting, and have sought to have pardon from those dreadful sins through the blood of the cross, and has had his righteousness counted to us by the Father, being justified by faith. May we know all these things and be altogether a Christian as much as ever Paul the Apostle was. We ask these things for the Saviour's name's sake. Amen.